Well, let's take our Bibles and turn one more time to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 13. I looked at my notes a while ago, and we began this series in October of 2009. We didn't look at Hebrews every Wednesday, but most of them. Lord willing, I'd like to look at the last three verses of this precious book. Hebrews 13, verse 23-25. The apostle says, "Know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom, if he comes shortly, I will see you. Salute all them that have the rule over you, and all the saints, they of Italy, salute you. Grace be with you all. Amen." Let's pray together. Our Father, this evening, we're so thankful for this precious time to be able to meet together. And Lord, thank you for allowing us to look at this wonderful, glorious book of Hebrews. And I pray that this evening, as we look at these last verses, bless them to our heart. Help us to hear. Help us to worship. These things we ask for Christ's sake. Amen. The first 12 chapters of the book of Hebrews. The apostle, and I believe the apostle Paul, and I probably in these verses right here, is probably the greatest exhibition that it was the apostle Paul that wrote it, but we'll look at that in a minute. But for the first 12 chapters, now you have to understand, the apostle is preaching, teaching Hebrews. He's teaching Jews. And what he's done is he's taught these Jews, not only for their admonition, but also for ours, how the Lord Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of all the types and shadows and pictures that they grew up under of the Levitical law. He's the fulfillment of it. He was the revelation. But Paul had told him, he said, when you saw that those goats and bulls and the sheep and all those animals sacrificed, that blood that could never put away sin, they were a picture of Christ. When that high priest would go in one time a year and sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat, that veil that he would go, that separation between that outer tabernacle and the Holy of Holies, that veil was a picture of the flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that into the very presence of God, where the Ark of the Covenant was only admitted by blood. He told them all these pictures, that showbread, that was a picture of Christ, the bread of heaven. That candlestick that burned, always burned, that's a picture of Christ, the light of the gospel. So all of these pictures and type, Paul was telling them, he said, he is the fulfillment. He's better than angels, better than Moses, better than Aaron, better than all these shadows in time. Better covenant. Better promises. Now, after 12 chapters, we've come to this 13th chapter. And what the apostle has done is now he's telling them how men made free, believers, men, women made free in Christ, act. He's setting forth how a believer walks in the liberty that that he has in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to give some practical application for these Hebrews, those that have been regenerated by the grace of God, called out of that spiritual darkness. He told them, he said, you're free. You're free. You're free in Christ. The Lord is calling out his people, Jews and Gentiles. He had said in Romans 16, 17, 18, he said, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart, not just a mental assent. I remember one time I was talking to somebody, and it was about the gospel, and they made this statement. They said, well, I'll have to agree with you. I see that election's in there. Well, Paul said, you were the servants of sin, but you've obeyed from the heart. It's not just a mental assent. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, you believe that form of doctrine, the gospel, which was delivered you, being then made free from sin, and not the presence of it, but we're free from the damning power of it, from the guilt of it. Being delivered, made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. And now he's going to give them some exhortation on the walk of a believer. He said, this way you walk before, when you were trying to walk and you were trying to earn a righteousness before God under the law, but now, he said, he told them last week, we looked at that in verse 22. He said, I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation. Endure this word of comfort, this word of teaching, this word of instruction. And then having said that, he says the next thing he says in verse 23, he said, I suffer the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you in few words. Then he says, know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom, if he comes shortly, I will see you. Now, when I was trying to prepare this last message, and I thought this, and then I read some commentaries on it, what was being said, and there's a few different thoughts concerning what Paul actually meant. I mean, he was talking to these Jews. He's been talking to them about the freedom that they have now. The Lord has called you out of darkness, out from under the shadow of the law, and now you're free. You're free. And then he says something about Timothy. Know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty. One writer said that it may have been that Timothy was in prison with Paul. Paul was in Rome, in prison. And maybe Timothy was there with him. Well, maybe so. I couldn't find anything in the Scriptures to bear that out. So maybe it was, but the Scripture doesn't bear that out. But this is one thing that I do know. The Apostle Paul, remember, Paul's a Jew. And a Jew that is talking to some more Jews. He's talking to some Hebrews. And Timothy was a Gentile. Now, Timothy had a mama that was a Jew, but his daddy was a Gentile. We'll look at that in just a minute. So, Timothy was not from the same lineage, let's say, as they were. But Timothy had been called out of darkness. And he crossed paths by the grace of God with Paul the Apostle. That he was a great help and encouragement to Paul. And Paul now is as a Jew, regenerated by the grace of God, is talking to more Jews regenerated by the grace of God. And Jews that the Apostle Paul now is encouraging. Walk in the liberty. You know, suffer the word of exhortation. Well, what had he just told them? What was the first verse that he had said in the 13th chapter? And listen to this. Now remember, this 13th chapter, he's teaching them something about their walk in freedom. Okay? You're out from under the law. Here's the first word. Let brotherly love continue. Brotherly love continue. My brother, none of you, I guess except for Glenda, no Glenn, has ever met my brother. And I'm going to tell you something. My brother is absolutely, he's got to be as kind a man. He's just as sensitive. He's just a very nice guy. And he'd do anything in the world for you, anything he can. He's just a, you know, but he has no interest in the gospel. But you know, he's still my brother. And if there was something that, you know, had happened and he'd fallen on, just, it needed me, I'd do anything in the world I could. He's my brother. My natural brother. But Paul the Apostle here is talking about let brotherly love continue. Brotherly love. Now we're talking about believers to believers here. I'm talking about those that have been chosen and redeemed and regenerated by God. Eternally loved by the Lord Himself. And as this Jew, Paul, one that knew something of the grace of God, and he's talking to these Hebrews and exhorting them, teaching them. I heard Brother Henry say one time, he said, a woman asked him, she said, Brother Henry, a believer, a true believer, one truly regenerated by the grace of God, do they naturally, just naturally, now I'm talking about that new nature now, she said, I'm talking about the new man, does that new man naturally love and respect and be an encouragement to another believer, or do they have to be taught that? And Brother Henry said, yes and yes. They have to be taught. Yes, they have a new nature that loves especially the household of faith. But they need to be taught that too. You know. Our Lord, His disciples, were believers. And how often did the Scripture say, and He'd sit down, He'd teach them. He'd teach them. You think a believer, a believing husband, needs to be taught. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. You think they'd need to be taught that? Yes. Don't you think they'd naturally do it? Yes. A new man will. A new man will. A believing wife, you think she needs to be taught? Wives, submit yourself unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. Think she needs to be taught that? Yes, she does. We come tonight and we need to be taught. You think a believer needs to be told, let brotherly love continue. You think they need to be told that? Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. remember them that are in bonds. You know, marriage, verse 4, is honorable in all, bed undefiled, whoremongers, adulterers, God judge. You think we need to be taught? Yes, we do. Well, here's the Apostle Paul. He had told them, he said, suffer. This word of exhortation. Know that our brother, Timothy, Gentile, called out of darkness, our brother. Let brotherly love continue. Paul was telling them, and I've read that, and I think it just appears as though, humanly speaking, but that's a kind of a foolish thing to say, but it just, you think, here was Timothy brought in there. But the Spirit of God moved upon the apostle to put that in there. And he's teaching them something. I have no idea what the background was. I don't have any idea. I don't know if there's a lot of things that wasn't recorded in the Scriptures. I mean, Scriptures tell us that. But for reasons known only to the Lord Himself, it was needful for Paul the Apostle to say something to these Hebrews about Timothy. And this is what he says. Know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty. God has shown him the mercy that he has us. Well, I'd like to consider for just a minute the liberty the Lord had shown and set Timothy in, not only Timothy, but every believer, that the Lord God of heaven has set at liberty. Number one, what was the source, not only of Timothy, but Paul and the Hebrews, and any of us, what is the source of that liberty, that freedom that we have in Christ? Free from the law, free from the obligation to try to go and establish righteousness before God. What is the source of that liberty? Here it is right here. The grace of God. The grace of God. You know, we looked at that scripture in Genesis last week. God saw that every thought of the imagination of man was evil continually. And it repented the Lord that He had made man and grieved Him at His heart. And He said, I'm going to destroy man that I've made, the animals, the birds. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And Noah was just as wicked as any of them. He was cut out of the same lump. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. What's the source of not only Timothy's, but everyone that God's called out of darkness? What's the source of? Where does it start? It started with God. God Almighty. Whenever Moses asked the Lord to show him His glory, this is what the Lord said. Here's My glory. Here is the greatest exhibition of the glory of Almighty God. This is what God said. Show Me Your glory. And He said, My glory is exhibited, the holiness of His glory. Everything about the Lord is holy. That's the character of God. It's holy. And here's the exhibition of that holiness, that glory. Mercy. Mercy. And compassion. Now you want to see the exhibition. You want to see something of the exhibiting of a new heart. One that has been set at liberty by the Lord God of heaven. Here it is. They're merciful. And they're compassionate. We as redeemed and regenerated sinners, we realize, we know something about what we are. And we show mercy because we've been shown mercy. We have compassion because the Lord has been compassionate to us. I mean, this, if you want to find something wrong, it ain't hard. I mean, you know, just hang on. Just give me a second. I'll give you a good reason, you know, to get on to me. But mercy. Compassion. A man or a woman set at liberty is one that God's been merciful to, compassionate to. That's the greatest exhibition of God's glory. I will have mercy. The Lord had shown mercy to His people. Paul talking to other believers, and he said, our brother Timothy had been set at liberty. Now you let brotherly love continue. Secondly, what's the means of that liberty? I know the source of it is the grace of God. What's the means of it? Here's the means of it. The hearing of the gospel. The hearing of the gospel. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. Again, I heard Brother Henry say this one time. He said that people have told him, they said, I just feel, I just feel all out of sorts, and I feel this, that, and the other. And he said, our settledness in the gospel, our settledness, to be able to just settle down, believe God, he said, is in direct proportion to the hearing of the Word of God. Hearing the Word of God. I know I told some of you this. I was talking to Gabe the other day. Told Todd the same thing. We was talking the other day. I said, Todd, you know, we study. We read. We read these commentaries. But I said, it's needful for us to hear the Word of God preached. Just hear, make much of hearing God's Word. I would encourage you, just go on sermon audio and download some messages by old Brother Scott and old Brother Henry and some of these men that we love and trust, and make much of hearing the Word of God. I know some of you do. I've talked to you. But hear God's Word. Hear it preached. Turn to 2 Timothy 1:5. 2 Timothy 1:1-5. The source of Timothy's liberty was the grace of God. The means of that liberty that he was set at was hearing the gospel. 2 Timothy 1:1-5. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers day and night, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned, that is, the sincere faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that in thee also. Now here was Timothy, and he had a believing mama and a believing grandma. And what did they do? Well, just turn over 2 Timothy 3:14-15. 2 Timothy 3:14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Who taught him? God taught him. Spirit of God taught him. That's what the Lord said. They'll all be taught of God. God's Spirit will bring. Who taught? Be mindful of these these things that you've been taught, Timothy, that and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. The greatest thing that we could do for our kids and grandkids, get them over there and, you know, just tell them, say, listen, let's just read. I want to read a verse of Scripture. I know their attention span's going to be about that long, so you take that in consideration. But I'm telling you, read the Word of God to them. Teach them. The means of God's mercy, the Lord had given Timothy a believing mama and a believing grandma. And they read the Word of God to him. And the Lord was pleased to bless it. And the Lord called him out of darkness. Every object of God's mercy must and shall hear the gospel, that Almighty God might show mercy to them. The preaching of gospel. Listen to Ephesians 1:13. In whom, that is the Lord Jesus, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Romans 10:17. That's the verse. It says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This gospel is the gospel that Paul said, I'm not ashamed of. That's Romans 1:16-17. I'm not ashamed of it. For it is the power of God unto salvation. So all that have been set at liberty, Paul told him, he said, Timothy had been set at liberty. All set at liberty, the source of that liberty is the grace of God. The means of that liberty is the Word of God. And then thirdly, what's the evidence of one that has truly been set at liberty? Well, here it is. It's obedience. It's faithfulness. It's care for the glory of God, the glory of God's Christ, the glory of God's Word, and God's people. Care for. Now, Timothy was a faithful preacher. 1 Corinthians 4:17, the Apostle Paul said of Timothy, he said, for this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son in the Lord. He wasn't actually his natural. My beloved son and faithful in the Lord. Timothy was a faithful preacher. He was Paul's friend. Paul's help. God had given Timothy to Paul and Paul to Timothy. And they loved each other. Paul said he's a faithful man. The Lord had given him a heart of servitude. He bowed to the Lordship of Christ, and he submitted himself to God's minister, God's elder that he had placed over Timothy, knowing that the Lord had sent Paul to be Timothy's elder. And Timothy recognized that. He knew. Submit yourself to the elders, you know. Listen to them. Listen to what they have to say concerning God's Word. Well, Timothy, knowing that Paul had been sent by the Lord as his elder, Timothy willingly submitted to that which Paul, a man proven by his faithfulness, thought best. Paul thought best to have Timothy circumcised. Remember, Timothy was a Gentile. Look at Acts 16:1 says, then came he that is Paul, to Derbe and Lystra, Acts 16. And behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed. But his father was a Greek, and obviously didn't believe, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews, which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders, which were at Jerusalem. So, Paul, a man taught of God, that knew he was taught by God's Spirit of the liberty that he had in Christ. He knew that. And Paul, knowing his liberty that he had in Christ, he also knew the weakness of many of the Jewish converts. Remember, Paul's a Jew. And he's familiar. He knows. He knows how a Jew thinks. Well, knowing some of the struggles that many of those converted Jews, he wasn't doing this to please the Pharisees. I'll show you that in a minute. But knowing the struggles, the prejudices that the converted Jews would have, and knowing that the Lord had called Timothy, set at liberty back there in Hebrews, know ye that our brother Timothy set at liberty, Paul thought best to have Timothy circumcised. For this reason, that it wouldn't be something that would be a hindrance to Timothy preaching to these Jews. Now you have to remember, a Jew was raised to believe that a Gentile was a dog. There's actually subhuman. A Gentile. You don't even touch a Gentile. You don't talk to a Gentile. That's the scum of the earth. And now to have a Gentile called out of darkness. But still, Paul knew. I want you to look at 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians 9:12. The Apostle Paul, I won't read all of chapter 9, but let me tell you what he's told them. Some of them had accused him of not having the rights, being an apostle of the Lord. To be an apostle of the Lord, an apostle now, was one that was taught the gospel by the Lord Jesus Himself. They learned the gospel. See, we stand and we preach the gospel, and everyone else that's ever been converted has heard it from the mouth of a preacher, a man. An apostle was taught the gospel by the Lord, personally. Paul the apostle was stopped on the road to Damascus, and the Lord Jesus Christ talked to him. And Paul had asked him, he looked in verse 1, chapter 9, Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? And he goes on to tell him about the freedom and the rights of an apostle. Who goes, verse 7, a warfare any time at his own charge? Who plants a vineyard and eats not? Paul was saying, he said, I have the God-given right to live by the gospel, be supported. You know, he said, if I give unto you these spiritual things, is it not right that you would help me and support me in the gospel? He said, but. And that's what I'm going to read right here, verse 12. But he said, I wouldn't, I wouldn't, if you don't feel the liberty, or you don't feel the necessity to support, you know, the apostle. And here's verse 12. That's what he's talking about. He said, if others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we've not used this power, but suffer all things. Now listen to this. Lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Paul said, I would not want to hinder the gospel of Christ. Now let me ask you this. How much was it a concern to him to not be a hindrance to the gospel of Christ? Look at verse 15. He said, but I have used none of these things. I've not laid any demands upon you. Rights that I have, but I've not done this. Neither have I written these things that it should be so done unto me, for it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void. Paul said it'd be better for me to die than to be a hindrance to the gospel. Turn over just look at 1 Corinthians 9:19-23. Paul would not be a hindrance to the gospel, to the preaching of the gospel. He says in verse 1 Corinthians 9:19, though I be free from all, men is in italics there, but he said, though I be free from all, from the demands of the keeping of the law, from all the rules and regs, but though I be free from all, yet have I made myself servant unto all that I might gain the more. Now listen to this. He says, for unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, as without the law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now let me ask you, look at verse 23. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Now, was Paul saying, it just doesn't matter what I do. I don't, you know, y'all want to, you know, we want to live and you know, rebellion, whatever I got to do. If I got to kind of buddy up to you. Now, you know he didn't say that. But let me tell you what he did say. He said, I'm free from all. I'm not under the law. But, he said, unto the Jews I became a Jew. Listen, if you got a problem, you converted Jews. You got a problem and you don't want to eat bacon. You don't want to eat pork. That's okay. I won't eat pork. I won't eat pork in front of you. I'm not gonna do that. You got a problem. He said, you just don't feel as though it's just not right. It's not right before God to go out if you got to do something on Sunday or something like that. You know, I just don't feel that it's right to do something on Sunday. Paul said, okay, I won't throw that in your face. I'm not gonna. He said, I'm not establishing my righteousness before God because I do or I don't do anything on a certain day, on a holy day. So that's okay. But he said, listen, you got a problem. You feel as though that really, you know, I know you're not doing it for salvation. There were some that wanted Titus circumcised. And they told Paul, they said, Titus is not circumcised. He can't be saved. Paul said, he won't be circumcised then. You're not going to be circumcised. But see, for Timothy, it wasn't that. It wasn't that Paul was compromising the gospel. What he was doing was, he knew that just in the back of their mind, while Timothy was preaching to them, Paul, knowing how a Jew thought, he thought best to have Timothy circumcised so it wouldn't be a hindrance to the preaching and the hearing of the gospel. That was the issue. That was the issue with Paul. I don't want to do any, I'd rather die than be a hindrance to the gospel. Oh, may we be careful concerning our actions and our attitudes to not be a hindrance to the gospel. I mean, what we do, what we say, how we say it, be careful. Paul said, I just don't want to be a hindrance. Well, back, and I'll try to be quick here, wrap this up. Back in Hebrews 13, verse 23 again, I'll just read it. He said, I know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom if he come shortly, I'll see you. Then he says in verse 24, and here again, he's given them some practical application of what he's told them. He says now, verse 24, salute all them that have the rule over you, and all the saints, they of liberty, salute you. I want you to notice the respect that the Spirit of God moved upon the Apostle Paul to pen concerning all them that have the rule over you. I looked up that word salute. This is what it says. Fold in your arms, welcome, and embrace in heart. Salute. All them that have the rule, here it is, leading you. All them that have the rule over you. The apostle was saying, give my greetings to those that are the leaders. The pastors, the men that stand and preach the gospel, you men that read, that stand and read, that pray over and read God's Word, salute them. Salute them. Fold them in your arms and respect them. For those that's given the responsibility to read God's Word, I salute you. Brother Neil, you do the respect. Respect. For the study, to stand here and preach the gospel. Any man that stands, you salute him. You respect him. He's due the honor. God put him there. God put him there. Salute all them that have the rule over you. They're due the respect, due the honor. Men that preach, men that read, you give them a respectful ear. Because I'm going to tell you something. You remember who put them there. And the one that put them there can do whatever he wants to. But while he's got them here, we're to salute them. And Paul says, salute all them that have the rule over you and all the saints. All those sanctified, set apart by God. You pray for them. You encourage them. You build them up. You be a help to them. You salute every minister and every hearer of the gospel. Let brotherly love continue. Brotherly love. God chose them. Christ redeemed them. And the Holy Spirit's called them out. And then he says, they of Italy salute you. You salute them. And they in Italy, the believers in Italy, not all of them, but the believers there salute you. Oh, the marvel of God's grace that God would tear down partitions and prejudices. One in Christ. One in heart. One with each other. Brotherly love. And then in closing, the apostle said, grace be with you all. Amen. The grace of God that chose you, grace by which We've been justified. Grace that we're not under the law. Grace by which we're saved. Grace by which we're kept. Grace be with you all. Amen. Now in closing, I told you a while ago that I've said all along, I believe that this book was written by the Apostle Paul. Paul the Apostle said in 2 Thessalonians, he says, the salutation of Paul with mine own hand, which is the token, now listen to this, in every epistle, so I write, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Paul said, this is the token of the epistles that I've written. He said, this is with my own hand. He said, this is what I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you all. So I went back, Mitch, and I looked, in closing, I just looked at the epistles that I know was, you know, written by Paul. It starts off, it says Paul. Here's what he said in Romans 16, 20 and 24. He wrote this. This is how he ended it, Carl. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you all. Amen. In 1 Corinthians 16, 23, this is how he ended it. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. 2 Corinthians 13, 14, he says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. In Galatians 6, 18, he said, brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Ephesians 6, 24, grace be with you all that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Philippians 4, 23, he said, the grace of our Lord Jesus be with you all. Amen. Colossians 4, 18, the salutation by the hand of me, Paul, remember my bonds, grace be with you all. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5, 28, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. 1 Timothy 6, 21, he said, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. 2 Timothy 4:22, the Lord Jesus be with thy spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. Titus 3:15, all that are with me salute thee. Greet them that love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Amen. Philemon 25 says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. And Hebrews closes like this. Grace be with you all. Amen. Let's stand together.